This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That's the newest Florida Panther, Brad Marchand, at his introductory press conference in Sunrise, Florida, or wherever they do that.
He's got the Panther pullover. He's got the hat on.
Oh, I didn't even see it. He got all the gear?
Oh, he's got the gear.
Nice.
Yeah, it's weird. And I saw the jerseys in the pro shop, 63 with the Panthers. It's a weird look.
It's good. Good looking uni, though.
Did you buy one?
Not yet.
You got it shipped up here?
I'll get it here in a couple of weeks. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe. Here on WEEI, we're joined now by Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, Sunday Skate, joining us here. What's up, Scott?
What's up, guys?
You able to take a little bit of a breather after all the action on Friday? I know you guys were on yesterday breaking it all down, but that was a wild hour plus the way the NHL does it, 2-3 hours with all the details coming in. But that was quite a roller coaster.
An hour for the deals to actually happen, and then 2.5 of them all to get processed.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. So what do you make of all of it? You've had some time to process and look back at it. What do you make of all of it, starting with Marchand on Friday?
Well, it's a much bigger blow-up retool than I think most of us anticipated, right? Like, we had discussed all these trades individually as possibilities, but then it was the fact that it was, all of it happening. Marchand, Coyle, and Carlo. It's like, that's a real gutting of your core. It's not quite all the way down to the studs. You still have the foundation of Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman, but it's, like, wiping out the three floors above it. Like, you know, it went deeper than I think any of us were thinking. And now, you know, how long does it take is like the next big thing, because Don Sweeney comes out, meets with the media on Friday and says, you know, we're hoping to be competitive right again, you know, very next year. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. That's going to be a tough one. Like, if they're going to be back next season, there's so much work to do. Like, that, I would be highly skeptical of that. So, yeah, just a kind of a crazy reset for this franchise and ultimately a massive day.
You know, as it relates to Marchand, clearly the contract was a holdup. It didn't sound like, and we played the Elliott Friedman stuff earlier, it didn't sound like they were really lowballing him or expecting him to take a Bergeron-type Chara discount. If they were offering him the same that he's making now, 6.1, if they're at 6.3, like DJ Bean said, and they agreed to 3 years, any idea what kind of money Marchand was looking for? Like, what was really the breaking point here?
Yeah, because Elliott Friedman also said on 32 Thoughts this morning that there was still a sizable gap.
Right.
So that makes you think, like, Marchand must have been looking for over seven.
But, like, 6.3 to 7? I mean, I guess we're talking percentages. It's such a small number compared to other sports, but I don't know. Like, at some point, did the Bruins really, really want him? Because if they weren't willing to go up 500K, or if they couldn't like come together on that, I don't know. I just wonder how much they were like ready to rip the Band-Aid off and sort of start anew.
I think there was an element of that. I mean, clearly when you cut this deep, it's inspired by a couple things. Like, one is that it was a seller's market on everyone other than Marchand, it turned out. Like,
right.
You know, and obviously the injury complicates that, but Carlo and Coyle, you got really good returns. So, like, that's why you pull the trigger on those trades. But, yeah, I think they've been shocked by how this season has gone, and they've been waiting for things to get right all year. It never happened. And I think they felt like we need to do more than just a couple cosmetic changes around the edge. Whether that was going to start now or take place over the summer, they needed to go deeper at some point, and the market was there to do it now. And as it relates to Marchand, you weren't going to be able to trade him over the summer because he would have just walked as a free agent if there was still this gap. So, yeah, it's an underwhelming return, but ultimately they decided they still wanted to take what they could get now rather than risk him leaving for nothing in the summer.
Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, Sunday Skate. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. Follow him, SMcLaughlin9 on Twitter. What was the market for Marchand in terms of other options to trade him, and why Florida? Was that where he wanted to go? I've been suggesting out of spite. Was that really the Bruins' only option? Did they have other options and they did him a solid? Why Florida?
Yeah, I think this is where the Bruins did him a solid. Was he wanted to stay on the East Coast. He wants to be a short flight to family. And ultimately, they worked with him on that. Because I do think there were Western Conference teams interested. Now, a couple of them went other directions. Colorado gets Brock Nelson instead, and then Charlie Coyle on top of that. Dallas ends up with the big blockbuster for Mikko Rantanen. I'd heard Vegas. I'd heard the LA Kings. And, you know, Vegas, look, maybe there's the Bruce Cassidy connection. Marchand has a good relationship for him with him. Like, maybe that would have been in play. Vegas ultimately went small at the deadline. They got Riley Smith, and that was really it. So, you know, a little out of character for them. And I don't know if he wanted to go to LA. Like, that's, you know, that's West Coast. I think he really wanted to stay East. And that is where the Bruins worked with him and did him a solid.
Jacobs, Neely, and Sweeney all put out statements after this happened. And the thing that really jumped out to me, well, to us, we were talking about it, was Jacobs really backing Sweeney and Neely as far as, like, the rebuild and going forward. Did you read it the same way? And are you surprised that Sweeney, based on the season that they're having, is as safe as it may appear?
I'm not surprised for now. Okay. Because you don't let Don Sweeney have a day like Friday if you're thinking about firing him after the season. Like, if Sweeney's a lame duck GM, the dictate from ownership is, hey, sell off Frederick, sell off Brazo, and that's it. And we'll save the bigger stuff for the offseason. And in their minds, it would be because we're going to have a new GM and we'll let him handle it. So Sweeney is, in my mind, safe through the summer now. He's going to get a chance to start this retool. The big question is, how long does he get? And what does next season have to look like? Like, are the Jacobs expecting next season to be competitive again, like Sweeney said they could be? Like, is that the expectation? So then what happens if they start slow and they're trending towards another non-playoff year? Like, is he out next year? Or are they understanding and accepting of something a little longer term? Like, is this a 2-3 year plan?
Well, if you had to guess, I'm sorry to jump in, but if you had to guess based on their track record, they're not going to wait 2 or 3 years. They want this team back in the playoffs next year, right?
That's generally how it goes with the Jacobs. Yeah, usually if you miss the playoffs once or twice, you're out as GM. So we'll see. Maybe they're in some new spot. Maybe they believe in Cam Neely enough that they take his word on, you know, hey, Don's the right guy for this. But generally, they have not exhibited any patience at all for prolonged retools or rebuilds.
You mentioned you like the return for Carlo and Coyle. I'd add Frederick too. Like, I thought all of those were good returns. Middlestat, I guess, is more polarizing than maybe I realized. That
can't do a pull up.
Oh, that's true. That is true. What'd you say? He benched 160 once at the combine.
Yeah, he's a pro athlete, 160 pounds, which is such an odd weight to bench. But whatever, they do 160 at the NHL trade or the NHL combine. He did it one time.
He's basically me. I mean, when it comes to strength, he's basically me. So I get that. But I felt like that was an okay return. But you tell me, why did you like the return specifically for Coyle and Carlo? What are they getting back?
Yeah, I like the return for Coyle because I think, look, Casey Middlestad is a little bit polarizing. He showed a lot of promise in Buffalo, has a 59-point season, even the year split between Buffalo and Colorado, 57, trending towards, like, a bona fide second-line center. Gets off to a good start this year, then starts to struggle, regresses to the point where Colorado's like, he can't be our number two center if we're going to go on a run. They get Brock Nelson, then they're like, you know what, we don't even love him as our number three center. we're trading him for Charlie Coyle. So he's got to get back on track. Now, he is more, I'd say, offensively gifted and more of a playmaker, more offensive-minded than the centers the Bruins usually go after. He's not this, you know, great two-way guy, going to handle defensive zone starts, great on faceoffs. He's something different. Well, they need something different. So, to me, that's a chance worth taking. And if it doesn't work out, it's only 2 years. Like, it's not, you're not locked in for seven right. with this guy. I like the prospect they got. I like the pick they got. And the Carlo trade, again, like the prospect, Fraser Minton. Like,
Is he a prospect or is he a guy? He's going to be a guy who's going to be helping.
He's already just about ready. He's 20. He's played 19 NHL games. He's probably going to start in Providence here, but like, he's not far off. And then you get the first round pick on top of it.
You know, it's funny, looking this up, since 2000, every time they've missed the playoffs, they've missed it for 2 years. So it's like a two-year rebuild, retool, and then they get back.
Well, pattern going on.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, unfortunately, not nice. If they missed this year, which it feels like they're going to.
And real bad news for Sweeney.
Based on track record, next year, really, it would be bad news for Sweeney. Another question that's come up is, I know no one's going to wear the C the rest of the season. There's no captain. Next year, who's going to be the captain?
I think it's going to be David Pastrnak. I think he's really stepped up as a leader this season. Obviously, a tough year and even a tough start for him. You know, personally, he's turned it on since the turn of the new year. But I've been impressed with how he's handled all of this and the things he said when he's met with the media after, just things you hear about how he's handling the locker room. And even just look at the chaos of Friday and Saturday. David Pastrnak was the only thing even resembling a leader around that locker room. Like, Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm are back in Boston rehabbing.
Right.
There is only one guy in that room that everyone is turning to when they're like, what the heck is going on? And it's Pastrnak. And I don't know if you can entirely credit him with how they played Saturday, but like, whatever happened in that room, they came out and played a heck of a game against what was the hottest team in the NHL. So let's see how the rest of this year goes. But Pastrnak is still, at least for a while here, going to be really the only leader around. He was the only one wearing a letter on his jersey Saturday. And that might not change until or unless Charlie McAvoy comes back.
So if he's the leader in your eyes, why not just make him the captain? Like, what's the holdup?
Because they'll take the offseason to reset it and, you know, have team vote, have management have a say in it, all that stuff during training camp next year. They've done that before. Like, I don't think they had a C after they traded Thornton. There was even, I think after, like, they moved on from Jason Allison or something. Like, there was another gap in there somewhere where they didn't have a C right away.
Now, I don't think there's a chance after hearing both sides, but some are still holding out on the Brad Marchand will just re-sign with the Bruins in the offseason. Do you think that's dead, or is there any hope of that?
Like Don Sweeney, I will not completely close the door, but I think it's unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, look, they had all season to negotiate a contract and couldn't bridge whatever this gap was. It's hard to imagine them bridging it in the offseason unless Marchand just doesn't get the offer he thinks is going to be out there for him. Like,
yeah, what do you think his market is?
It's probably around $7 million. I was looking this morning, the Athletic has like these like player cards that are analytically based, but you know, projected players' value, and they have Marchand at 7.1. Like, that seems about right to me.
Although he points to Elias Lindholm, and he's like, well, he makes more than that.
Yeah.
Like, I should probably make more than that.
Well, and just, you know, he's not Stamkos, but we were kind of kicking this around before the show. Stamkos making $8 million a year, and he's older than Stamkos, and he's not the same player Stamkos was, but like seven to me sounds about right. And maybe he's more willing to take seven from a new team than he was to take seven, which is still less than Lindholm and McAvoy and Pastrnak and Swayman and all these other guys here. So maybe he's more willing to do it. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We can take some phone calls here with Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, on Jones and Keith. Phil is in New Hampshire. What's up, Phil?
Hello.
Hello.
I am really happy with the trade deadline. I'm happy with the returns. I think Sweeney's great at setting the table. I do question, though, Is he the right guy to identify elite talent when it's time to make the trades with all these beautiful assets that we have? And then the other thing I wanted to point out is, hey, remember when Cassidy got pushed out the door? Those three players that were the players that were pushing him out, and it was Jake DeBrusk. And then there were two more, Trent Frederick and Brandon Carlo. So they kind of got rid of the guys that were, you know, vocal in the locker room questioning a coach, which I also like. So I kind of like where they are. I just want to know if you guys have confidence in Sweeney to identify, A, the correct coach for the team, and then build a team that fits that coach after he gets them,
okay,
and identify elite talent and make the right trades.
Phil, good questions. Let's put the coach thing to the side for a second. Sweeney, are they going to use these draft picks and draft, or are they going to use these draft picks and try to package them together for players? Like, I know it's early to have the answer to that, but like, what's your instinct on that?
Probably a little of both, which is kind of a lame answer, but like, you have to make some picks. Their prospect pool is so thin that you have to use some of these. You have to have some young talent coming along here in the next few years. At the same time, I don't think they're going to hold on to all of these, because there is still going to be this team just has a lot of holes to fill. So they're not going to trade them for like rentals or anything crazy like that, but I think they are going to try to target young players who, you know, maybe could get more of an opportunity here than where they are now. Bring them in. Like, you know, people use the Washington Capitals example of the retool they've done these last 2 years. Well, Capitals took the first round pick that they got from the Bruins for Dmitry Orlov, flipped it to Toronto for Rasmus Sandin, who was kind of like promising young defenseman, but in and out of the lineup in Toronto. People didn't really know if he was a fit there. Well, now he's a clear top four defenseman on a Capitals team that is at the top of the standings. So I think the Bruins will look for trades like that as well, where it's like, hey, there's a good player that team isn't using the way we'll use him. Let's go try to get him.
You know, to the caller's point too about, you know, in previous years, they would just get rid of the coach and then hope that would fix everything. Now you get rid of so many players. Do you think the trades were just based on the players on the ice and like what they could get in return, or do you think chemistry played a factor in these as well?
So I think it was mostly based on just what they can get in return, but I also think they weren't sad to shake up the locker room a bit. You know, I don't know that was the driving force where it was like, we have to trade these guys because our locker room's a mess. Like, I don't think it was that, but I also think they recognize that this team, what I keep coming back to with this season is like, how often they've just let things get away. Like, whether it's in a game that they allow a 1 or 2 goal deficit to turn into a blowout, or 1 or 2 losses to turn into a losing streak. And like, that's stuff that just didn't happen before. They always found a way to fight back and like pull themselves out of it. And they haven't been able to. And that's where I think they look at the room and go like, well, maybe it's time for a little bit of a shakeup.
Real quick, how do you think Marchand does in Florida?
I think he'll be great there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to fit right in. Now,
will they play him, Bennett, and Tkachuk on the same line?
That's what I hope. That's what everyone hopes.
Yeah, that really would be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It would be bittersweet for Bruins fans to watch, but it'd be fun. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Joe Sacco has any chance of being the coach next year?
Probably no.
Okay, good. What are you hearing, or what would make sense on the next coach of the Boston Bruins?
The one that I keep clinging to that I've just had stuck in my mind is Mike Sullivan, if the Penguins decide to move on from him, which has been rumored for a while, but he keeps sticking around in Pittsburgh through their never-ending retool. They can't seriously get it right there.
John Henry on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, at some point they're going to make a change, and if it's this offseason, I would be very interested in the possibility of bringing Mike Sullivan back to Boston.
Okay, he's Scott McLaughlin. Check him out on the Sunday Skate here on WEEI. Check him out on WEEI.com and follow him on Twitter at SMcLaughlin9. Scott, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott. Guys. The only Bruins writer who will come on this show.
Yeah.
You like that?
Well, it's what we're down to these days. And one of the few who credits hashtag ScoopsKeith. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We have more coming in on the Patriots, which we'll get to coming up with all your phone calls. That's next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whole bunch of teams in on DK Metcalf. Patriots, not one of them. If I could pull up Twitter right now, Keith, Phil had a tweet.
Yeah.
I retweeted it, which is very uncommon for me. And I sought it out that basically he said something like they weren't in on Metcalf. They are fully focused on Chris Godwin. I can get you the specifics on it.
You but get him.
It's the closest I've seen to any confirmation, which I don't really need. But credit to Phil Perry, the closest I've seen to confirmation the Patriots really weren't in on Metcalf, I think it's self-evident.
Yeah.
It was about them. It wasn't about him. He would have come here if you paid the draft pick and paid him the contract. He would have come here. I don't care what he told Katie Nolan. It was the closest thing I had seen to confirmation from any of the beat writers that the Patriots didn't want him. And, well, when Twitter gets back up and running,
we'll let you know.
We'll make sure we let you know.
Yeah, not ideal. So now it's starting to add up a little bit. So would you have traded a fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I would have as well, but I wasn't going to lose my mind because there were still some other options. Would you have traded a second-round pick for DK Metcalf?
Yes.
Yes, so would I. So, all right, there's still a few other options. Would you have given more money to Davante Adams than what he ended up signing for
Definitely.
In L.A.?
Of course. We were talking 2 years 60, 2 years 65.
Now, all right, some of these are a little bit...
He got way less than that.
So Deebo and DK, a little bit different. They don't have no trade clauses, so that might not have been the destination. Adams might have said, hey, I'd rather at this stage of my career go to L.A., mm-hmm. live there, play for that team, they're a better team, all of that, whatever. But now that's three guys off the board. So... it kind of is becoming all in on Chris Godwin or what? Like, where else are you going to turn? I love Cooper Kupp, but you still need him in addition to somebody, I think, based on just all his injuries that he's had over the last few years. I don't want to go the draft route. I know people would say, well, you can still draft somebody. I don't really want to do that. And Travis Hunter, that's sort of a different animal. If it is Travis Hunter, then he can kind of do both. But just upgrading the wide receiver room, it's kind of getting down to Godwin, right? T. Higgins looks like he's probably staying now in Cincinnati.
Free agency is kind of down to Godwin. It's like, I mean, there's not that many names out there
Big
still.
Big Milt.
Thank you. Yeah.
Milton Williams there, maybe.
Milt the Stilt.
Yeah. You could get him.
Yeah.
Milt the Quilt. That's what they said.
Too soft. That's too soft of a nickname for a defender, Keith.
Yeah, but there's a lot of meaning behind it. But yeah, they just really... they need to get Chris Godwin. Like, for this position, there are other positions we could get into and other
they
trades,
need to get Chris Godwin. And Phil and other writers, or Breer this morning was linking them to Chris
Bucks.
Godwin.
He's probably going to stay with the Bucks.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine, they need him. Do you have any faith they're going to get him?
I have zero faith they're going to get him.
Let's say he leaves Tampa. Now he's on the open market. He's out on the open market. Any faith they're going to get him?
If he leaves Tampa, no. They've become the Red Sox.
They have no excuse not to get him.
Red Sox the last 5 years, Patriots now, Spider-Man meme. Pointing at each other. What's different? Nothing's different.
No.
They're close on guys. Oh, they were interested in Ronnie Stanley. Great. A lot of teams are interested in Ronnie Stanley. He stayed where he was.
Yeah. You like T. Higgins and Ronnie Stanley? Great.
Awesome.
Who else do you like?
Maybe find somebody else.
Justin Jefferson and Miles Garrett and all these
guys. Harold Landry.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
I like Harold Landry. I'm not trying to dump on Harold Landry. We brought his name up a couple weeks ago about if Vrabel's going to reunite with some Titans. Maybe they trade for Jeffrey Simmons. They already signed Harold Landry. I'm fine with that. But right now, and again, it's early, and the Red Sox flipped it, right? They signed Chapman first, and we're like, really? And then they traded for Crochet. They signed Bregman. They signed Walker Buehler. Like, it became better. But right now, re-signing Austin Hooper and bringing in Harold Landry when all these other teams are making, like, big moves.
Don't forget, subtracting Devon Godchow for a seventh-round pick.
They did get a future seventh-round pick for Devon Godchow, so that's the end of Chow.
Is it not even this year?
I think it's – I don't think it is.
Although you can't fact-check it because
we'd like to look.
Twitter's down. By the way, over my dead body, am I going to Blue Sky?
I'm not doing it.
I will not be going there. Over my dead body, I'll live in the cesspool that is Twitter. I'll live in the mud in Twitter. I am not signing up for stupid ass Blue Sky because they can't figure out Twitter on the start of free agency day. Over my dead body.
Wouldn't even know how to get there. I'm not going to do it. We at least we're in a place now where we can talk about it. We don't need to go there. 2026 seventh round pick.
Did you also just go to ESPN and look?
Nice.
Yes, Nick, I did.
Wow, the old-fashioned way?
I'm resourceful. Yeah, I waited for the newspaper to show up on my doorstep. Opened it up. Look at that. Devon Godchild, seventh-round pick. Yeah, but a future seventh-rounder. So they can't even use it this year. But that's fine.
No,
that was weird.
I would say that's fine. So where do they turn for wide receiver? We mentioned Godwin.
Cup and Godwin.
You and I both like Cup. I imagine, I don't know what the holdup is on the Rams releasing Cooper Cup, but they haven't done it yet.
Let me throw.
Maybe they're still holding.
Maybe they have. We just don't know.
Well, true. That's a good point.
Newsless vortex.
Maybe they're trying to do like a Christian Kirk type of trade where they're about to release him and then they can get a seventh rounder for him. Maybe
let me
it's something
throw
like
at
that.
You. Yeah. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to go into a year with Metcalf and Pickens?
I would if I were them, but yeah. I saw Jeremiah. I don't know how.
Yeah, he had
a
tough go here.
After late last week saying, go get Ronnie Stanley and go get DK Metcalf, and now you're cooking. But he suggested that Pickens could be on the move.
Could you trade for Pickens? Could you trade for Garrett Wilson? Could you trade for Chris Olave?
Text line says Ayuk.
Back to the Brandon Ayuk thing. I'm not as excited about Ayuk now as I was last year, but I would still take him, obviously.
Me too. I just, the idea of, if they weren't in on Metcalf, why would they be in on Ayuk? Why would they be in on like some of these other trades? Like, you're going to have to pay Pickens, too. And you're going to have to give up a draft pick.
Do you think you'd have to give up a second-round pick for Ayuk?
Oh, no.
So maybe that's why? Like, okay. Are they that worried about their picks?
But, like, to me, I think that'd be a bad way to go about it, but maybe that's
no,
it.
But I don't know. We'll see. If they end up getting him or if he goes to another team for less, then maybe that's the reason.
But, okay, so, like, I want Ayuk. I want George Pickens. I'd take Chris Olave, who would scare me with the head injuries, but I would take Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. You mentioned another name in there as well on
Garrett
the trade
Wilson.
Market. Thank you. Wilson, I would love. So I'm not saying no to any of those guys, but do you really think they're going to get that done? It doesn't feel like it to me. That doesn't feel like the kind of move they're going to make. Perhaps I'm wrong about that.
It's been an inauspicious start.
But I remember the Herald writing that they're not super in on giving up a draft pick and signing a contract. They'd rather go after the Godwins of the world and players who are out there in free agency because it's just money, not
Please
money,
do.
And draft pick compensation.
There's not a tremendous amount of great free agents. Jones went over the list earlier, and these guys are also re-signing with their teams.
Whoa, Twitter back.
Okay.
Wait.
Down again.
Well, I can see my little profile picture.
Oh, that's good.
And then it just says refresh, retry.
Well,
Never mind.
Yeah,
not
back. Back.
Jump
no,
the gun.
Yeah, come on.
Jump the gun on that.
What are you, nuts?
I thought we had a trade.
No.
Do we
have a trade desk? Or do we put that away?
What do we do with the trade
Nick
desk?
Let out a gas. I'm like, what do we got? He goes, just a white screen. I'm like, all right.
I got a white screen with an X on it. That's cool.
No, that's not going to work.
But I refuse to go to Blue Sky. I'll tell you what.
No, that's definitely not happening.
Chad Finn already migrated over there. I don't need to go to Blue Sky. Thank you very much. Let's go to your phone. 617-779-7937. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Hello, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Can I just say, I would vote that you do go to Blue Sky.
Why is that?
I mean, the Roman salute from Elon Musk, that was enough to get me over there. And it's really not that bad. The water's warm. But, you know, I couldn't vote on your, the thing you did because you didn't have Blue Sky. So that was the one negative there.
How do you even get to Blue Sky?
Anyway.
Being honest. Is it just Blue Sky?
I enjoy the mud. I like the mud in Twitter. It's not for everybody.
It looks very strange.
I'll get right in the mud.
There's too many, periods in there, and like I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like your name dot something. That's confusing.
I don't like it.
Get out of my
face. I don't really know how. I'm not sure how I got there, really, to be honest with you. I think I just Googled Blue Sky. I made an account. It wasn't that hard, and now I'm there. But I miss you guys. That's
Enjoy.
The problem.
Right.
Anyway, listen, Patriots offseason, not off to a great start, guys. I'm not sure where to even begin, but the seventh-round pick for Godchild, I mean, he wasn't that bad, right? I don't know. Where are we going with all this? It's not good. Let me know.
Okay, Godchild for a seventh-round pick. So,
future seventh-round pick, which is essentially an eighth-round pick, which is essentially giving him up for nothing.
So they were just ditching.
Which is essentially Troy Brown.
They're just ditching the contract.
Yeah.
That's all they were doing.
Well, do they...
Because the seventh rounder, a future seventh rounder is meaningless.
I know he was the best defensive tackle in football.
Oh, that's what Bill said.
It's also like, so the Jets couldn't get a seventh round pick for Davante Adams. They just cut him, but the Patriots could get a seventh round pick for Devon Godchild. Okay, I don't get it. Whatever.
No one wanted the Adams contract. That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he has the balloon payments and things like this. No one wanted that.
Yeah, Belichick did think Godchild was one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
He did.
But this also might just speak to Mike Vrabel and Terrell Williams saying, we view the defensive line differently. This is what we want up front, and we got to move some bodies around. Because you and I both like all the players on the D-line individually, but they didn't play well last year. So they did need to do some turnover. And if they're going to keep Barmore and Keon White and try to get the most out of those guys, great. And maybe they felt like, all right, Godchild's not a part of that. So I think that had more to do with roster than it did money.
There was also a lot of squawking in that D-line room, which, again, on talent, I agree with you. But Godchild came on this show and was like, guys are freelancing and getting away from what we're supposed to do on defense. He's, like, blaming his teammates. Maybe he was right. Maybe it wasn't inaccurate criticism. But I can't imagine the team loved him coming on the radio criticizing the whole defense. On top of that, you have Barmore, who has his own medical issues and his own, incident in Providence. And then you have Keon White, who said far too much last year. So there were a lot of potential issues in that D-line room. I don't think all of it's just the fit and the scheme. Some of it might be the fit and the personality and whether or not there are grown-ups. John is in Rhode Island. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm coming to an awful realization that the Patriots are going to have to infuse their offense with young talent through the draft. Debo, Devontae, DK, the three Ds, they don't want to come here. No one wants to come here. So the way to revamp your offense is through the draft. You either have to take Hunter or trade down, get a Genty or a Warren. You might not get a receiver this year, but, 2027, the class is insane with Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith.
I'm not doing that. We're not doing that. I'm not going 2027. Here's the thing. I'm not even shifting gears to the draft. Now, Nick came in the last break and said something that I think is right. He said, didn't the Commanders come in and kind of dominate the mid to low tier in free agency? They did. But
yeah,
I'm not going to like throw them up. Maybe they'll hit on some of these low tier, mid tier signings. That does happen. It happened way back in 2001 with the Patriots. I'm not throwing them a parade. The idea was they were going to be aggressive in free agency. And
they also had a Terry McLaurin. I know it's one guy, but you already put the receiver room at a certain level.
Sure.
Like for your young quarterback, you have a guy like that. But no, I get his point. Nobody thought Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz and what was left of Bobby Wagner was going to be as good as it was. So there is some of that, to be sure. But how confident are you that Mike Vrabel is going to have his way, where at his press conference he was saying, we do enough in free agency where we can go out there and play a game?
I was told Vrabel's
prior
running the show.
To the draft.
I was told Vrabel's running the show. It's Vrabel's show. He's in charge. He's doing everything. And so it's not Wolf. Like, I know that.
I don't know. Re-signing Austin Hooper sounds a lot like a guy I know.
So I personally am done blaming Wolf. I was worried that he's still here, but I've been told he's not doing anything. Vrabel's running the show. And so I'll choose to believe the beat writers on that. I'll believe Tom Curran when he comes on every week. It's Vrabel. It's Vrabel, and it's Stryker, and it's Cowden.
Stretch.
Elliot Wolf is just here. Okay, fine. Elliot Wolf is just here.
Okay.
I'm not going to blame him for free agency. And the money still comes down to the crafts. But if Vrabel's here and he's running the show and he can't influence Robert and Jonathan to spend, then what good is he? What power does he have? What yank does he have? 617-779-7937. We have more of your phone calls here. I shudder to even bring this up since Twitter is on very shaky ground, although it looks like it may be coming back. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter, you can vote in the latest.
Son of a gun.
Jones and Keefe bracket. Our March Madness uniform bracket, which continued throughout the weekend. We have more matchups here today, all 4-13 matchups. You can go find the full bracket.
If Twitter's down, one of these uniforms is going to have a real beef. They can have a real gripe, and they could say it's under review, under protest.
That's a good point. You can put it on.
We need a revote.
under protest would be the way to look at it. So we'll update some of the matchups over the weekend and all the latest in Patriots free agency in full swing next.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI, the Jones and Keefe bracket, March Madness uniform matchups have been going on for the better part of a week. They continued throughout the weekend. We have all 4-13 matchups going now. Woo! On Twitter, kinda.
Well,
at Jones and Keefe, and on Instagram. You can see the full bracket on Instagram at Jones and Keefe. So seek those out. Continue to vote whenever Twitter is up and operating again, and we'll throw more matchups at you.
It's like the internet at my house. You got to constantly unplug it and plug it back in. That's what we're dealing with Twitter.
Seems like we're back.
Blowing the cartridge.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah,
I don't love it.
I did this to Nick in the last break. I was like, I think we're back. And he's like, how dare you?
Yeah, I don't love our chances, but that's all right. You can see the bracket on Instagram, the full glorious bracket. We'll update it each round as we go forward. But yeah, a bunch of matchups are there. The matchups are always there for 24 hours, but they're constantly being tweeted out. So we're still in the first round. Had some interesting results thus far. And yeah, people are on it. There's definitely a powder blue bias.
A couple of texts here. And by the way, we're going to be done with the whole first round by Friday. So all first round matchups will be done by Friday. We'll start getting into the second round matchups, perhaps over the weekend, maybe early next week. Right. But the first round will be done on Friday. So continue to check at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. But this one here, 617-779-7937. Guys, not only did uniform matchup madness bring back users to a failing platform of Twitter, but the popularity of the bracket has crashed the site completely.
Could be true.
Also this, hey guys, before Twitter crashed, I was voting on the uniform matchup, and I noticed something very interesting.
Yeah.
The Royals and Oilers and North Carolina Tar Heels are all winning. Seems like there's a theme of powder blue or blue-like uniforms.
We love like a robin's egg blue.
I mean, look, we just put the options in front of you. You guys don't have to vote for them.
Yeah.
You can vote for whatever you want.
But they are very visually appealing. When you see a powder blue, you're like, oh, look at that.
Who doesn't like that?
That is really sharp.
So NFL free agency begins at noon. Legal tampering, I should say, begins at noon. It officially starts.
So right now it's illegal tampering.
On Wednesday
tampering.
At 4 o'clock. This is illegal tampering.
Illegal
correct.
Tampering.
There's been a lot of illegal tampering going on.
I was going to say, a lot of people are going to get arrested.
But it'll start at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Don't miss it.
Isn't that tampering?
We'll knock out some phone calls here.
Might be.
In the meantime, it's 617-779-7937. George is in Warwick. Hello, George.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good morning, or good afternoon, as the case may be. Hey, enjoying the show. I was a little kind of sideways on DK Metcalf coming here. So, I recognize the talent. Not sure he's the best guy in the locker room. I don't know. But if he didn't want to come here, I think we need our draft picks, and we need to have certainty with those draft picks, whether we're trading them or using them. As far as wide receivers, I'm going to give you a long shot dark horse. One of the wide receivers I expect to see signed by the Patriots is not sexy, but Elijah Moore out of Cleveland, who Vrabel had eyes on. I think he's been underrated there. I think he was underrated with the Jets. He hasn't had a good quarterback or a good system. I think that's going to be one of the wide receivers we see in our room next year.
Okay, Elijah Moore. Let's not spend a lot of time on it, but there is a Vrabel connection. If so, we'll go back and give you credit retroactively.
I mean, first of all, if you're going to say you think DK Metcalf's a problem in the locker room, then you want Elijah Moore.
That's a good point. Elijah Moore is burned real hot.
Doesn't he want out of every team he's ever been on?
Yeah, he did want out of the Jets. He was on the Browns last year.
But regardless, a super athlete. He's just never really made it at this level. But, I mean, that's the thing. These guys, they don't have no trade clauses, so you'd have to make him in the next line of players that said they didn't want to play here, then show up here and end up liking it. That's what you'd have to do to overwhelm them. Now, if you don't like DK Metcalf, the player, like, okay, that's up to you. That's fine. But they better go out and get somebody else, that at least one other person. I was advocating for two.
If they sign Godwin, I'll go, okay, Metcalf wasn't their guy, but Godwin was their guy. They got their guy. Fine. But, like, if they wind up with...
Oh, boy.
Darius Slayton. And, oh, well, don't forget, we have a bunch of picks in the draft, and we'll totally nail
Josh
the wide
Palmer.
Receiver position. Oh, Josh
Palmer.
Palmer
was the name that was out
Josh
there.
Josh Palmer, yeah, Darius Slayton,
tight.
You know,
no,
that kind of guy. Then I'm going to look at it and go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You don't want DK Metcalf? You don't want Davante Adams? So you can go through each individual situation. You were doing this earlier, Keith. This guy might not want to come here for that reason. That guy might not want to come here for this reason. You can explain them away individually. If they miss out on the whole thing, then that's a problem.
It's a tough go, yeah.
Randy's in Providence. Hello, Randy.
Hey, how's it going? I was calling in to talk about DK Metcalf, celebrate dodging that bullet. But you guys are hating on a guy for wanting out of the Jets and the Browns, and those seem like real obvious want-outs to me personally. DK Metcalf, though, I mean, he's not a fit here. He's built on physical traits alone. Josh McDaniels has always had a system that, like, wide receivers between the ears are successful in, you know, and DK Metcalf's never been that guy. That's the sort of move that desperate bad teams make. Good teams, they lay out a plan.
You think Pittsburgh is a bad franchise? And they're a bad team? They won 10 games last year. They were a playoff team. And they switched over their quarterback. And you think they're a bad franchise and a bad team?
Out like the Patriots have.
I think that he fits their scheme better than he fits our scheme.
Okay.
And so you're talking about apples and oranges.
Okay. Well, your scheme with Josh McDaniels, I think, was stupid to bring in Josh McDaniels for a number of reasons. And if you can't figure out how to make it work with DK Metcalf, it's another reason to hate the Josh McDaniels hire.
He's durable and productive. And so what do you think? Josh McDaniels is going to have a field day with Kendrick Bourne and Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and Kayshon Booty? I don't really see it that way. And also, to play this game again, McDaniels, not you nor I's first choice, but he's the guy they have now. In his history in the league, he has had success with a variety of different types of receivers. Devontae Adams was great with the Raiders. Randy Moss was obviously insane with the Patriots. And then obviously you have all those slot guys that have had great success, all the tight ends that have had great success. So we've seen certain types of players do it. They need game breakers. They need elite players that can help Drake May. DK Metcalf is one of those guys. I don't know how they dodged a bullet by not getting DK Metcalf.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here. Jones and Keefe, we have the start of NFL free agency at high noon, at least the legal tampering. I will get to it. All the latest buzz when moves start happening coming up next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.